good, man. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, I'm excited. Anybody excited besides Pastor? I'm excited. Praise God. It's just God is good, faithful to us. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand this morning and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Got a good word today, church. Praise God. It is just good. Amen. You're going to, I believe, just absorb this, get this in your spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith. For we walk, how? How do we walk? We walk by faith. Amen. We live, in other words, we live, we make our living by faith. We live by faith. In him we live and move and have our being, the Bible says. We walk by faith. Praise God. Hold up your Bible this morning. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, you're a faith walker. Praise God. Amen. So here's the word. We have grace. Grace is what God has provided. Everything we need is provided for us, already provided for us. But you know what? God wouldn't provide something for us that's not attainable. God would not provide for us. What good would it be if you had a starving child and you set out a nice plate of food for dinner, but you told your child, no, you can't have that? So, you know, God is a good God. First of all, you got to understand he is a good God, and that God wants to bless and desires and has already provided the blessing for us. So God has provided everything for us by grace, but he has also provided access to everything by faith. Faith, you know, a lot of times I think our persona or understanding of faith is it's something that we have to get or attain or somehow, you know, magically get in a position to see what God has given us manifested. But that's not true, because not only has God provided for us grace, everything that we need, but listen to me, God has provided for us faith. Faith has already been provided for you. Faith is not something you're trying to get. Faith is something you got. Now, whether we utilize that faith, there where we come into the challenge, whether we're utilizing our faith that we already have. Because God has deposited faith in every one of us. Look at Romans 12:3. We looked at this scripture, and then we're going to go over to another scripture. Look at Romans 12:3. God has already deposited faith in us. Amen. So he has given us grace, everything that pertains to life, healing, prosperity, everything that God has already given to us through grace, but also he's given access to us by faith. Faith is our drawing out of what God has given. Look what he says here. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to what? Each one, God has given us this measure of faith, this same faith has been given to each one of us to appropriate what God has supplied. Amen. So it's already within us. It's not something that we're trying to get. It's not something we're trying to get more of. It's something that we have and we utilize it. So let's go over to a scripture that most of us should understand and know. Because when we became born again, when we received Christ into our life, this is how you receive Christ. This is how we became born again. Romans 10:8, 9, and 10. Let's look at this, because I think there's some things in there that we can break down, we can understand, and we can really get a hold of what God has given to us through grace, amen, by releasing our faith into what he has provided for us. And if you know you already have grace and you already have faith, how much easier it is, and you have a clear understanding of who God is, that he's not stingy, that he's not mad, hello, that he's not upset, that he's not having a bad day because you're having a bad day, amen, but he's so good. His essence is love, is good, amen. He is so good, and God wants to just say, come to my table and dine. Receive all that I have for you, child. Hallelujah, isn't that awesome? But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is what? The word of faith. So the word resides two places. The word of faith resides two places. It resides where? In your mouth and where? In your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. Faith is residing within your mouth and within your heart. The word. Hello? Faith is activated by the word. Amen. In our mouth and in our heart. Faith is already deposited in your heart and it's activated by your mouth. Oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying this morning. Amen. Faith is already deposited in your heart. It's two places, in your heart and in your mouth. The word of God. Listen to what he says. Let's go on down. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? And believe in your heart. Faith, God deposited that faith in your heart to believe, to receive Christ. And the way you receive Christ is by confessing him with your mouth. Christ is grace. Grace is Christ. Y'all are hearing what I'm saying there. Christ is grace. It's what God provided. Through Christ, we have everything provided for us. Christ and grace are one. Oh my gosh, y'all ain't hear what I'm saying, man. This is so good. Christ and grace are one. They are inseparable. What God has provided, he provided through who? Through Christ. Christ became the curse that the blessing might come on us. Now, I think I might teach this week again. This is so good. Now, you may not be getting blessed, but I'm getting blessed up here because I'm just getting revelation of all that's in this word. And, you know, it's like God's just like just coming up out of me. But what I'm saying this morning, when you understand this, that Christ and grace are synonymous. They're the same. You can't separate Christ from grace. They are the same. Amen. They are the same. Christ has been provided for us, and through Christ, he took the curse that, what? The blessing of Abraham may come, what? Upon the Gentiles, upon us. Hallelujah. So therefore, all of the blessing that Christ's grace has provided comes upon us through faith. And we have faith where? In our heart, deposited in there, a measure of that faith given to all. We have that faith, and also not only do we have that faith, but we have what? That word of faith. And the way you receive Christ is the way we appropriate everything else that God has provided. It's the same way. It doesn't change. This scripture is the same for everything that God has already given us. He has provided salvation. So how do you receive salvation? Well, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart. You confess what grace has given and you believe in your heart. You release your faith. And look what he says, that God's raised him from the dead. For with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what we're receiving. What are we receiving when we're born again? What are we receiving? We're receiving salvation. So the way you receive salvation is by believing in your heart and confessing your mouth brings salvation from here, what God has done, to here, what I have received. Y'all get that? So God says, here, I've given you grace, Christ. So receive him. How do you receive him? By the faith I've deposited in your heart. And then you open your mouth and you confess out what I have given you through salvation, which means what? Wholeness, peace, healing, soundness, welfare, prosperity. All those things I've already given you, and the way you receive salvation is simply by confessing with your mouth what I have provided for you through grace, Jesus. Look at this, next verse. Oh, this is good. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be what? Put to shame. Hallelujah. Amen. No shame. Turn to somebody and say, no shame here. No shame here. So it's almost elementary, Watson, right? It's so simple at times that we just kind of get confused. But what happens is we're trying to always attain some faith out there to make something happen. And God says, no, it's so simple. I gave you right here in the Word. If you'll just take my Word and apply my Word over whatever you're going through, I've already provided it for you. So you just believe in your heart because you already got it. Now that you're believing in your heart, just line up your mouth with your heart and confess what I provided through grace. So simple, yet we've made it so complicated because we're always trying to get more faith. We want more faith. Look at this. Let me show you a scripture over in Luke. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 through 10. Luke chapter, some of you can identify with this maybe. Luke 17:3-10. I don't know if we'll go down through all of us, but there's one I want you to see. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he changes his mind, do what? Forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I'm changing my mind, you shall what? Woo! Really? Okay. And the apostle said to the Lord, help us, Jesus. Whoa, how can anybody do that? And then we've taken this scripture to think that, whoa, that's what we're supposed to do. We need to increase our faith. No, folks, you got all the faith. You have the same faith that Jesus had when he walked on this earth. That faith is not different. In fact, you have the same spirit. The Bible says you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you. Whoa, man. I'm feeling energized now. Look out. The anointing gets on you, man. It's just like, wow, look out. Amen. You know, and yet we're trying to increase our faith. We work at it. Oh, God, if I can have more faith, please, God, give me more faith. Oh, I know I can move this mountain if you give me that faith, Lord. That's doubt. What you're doing is doubting instead of believing because you're not saying, I've already got the faith. I need more faith. And then Jesus gives the example of a servant. He goes on down here, and we can read this. Let's go on down. But I thought this is kind of cute. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say. You got to say. You got to say. We don't say enough. We hold it in. We think about saying it. We sometimes might say it, but we don't stay on it. We got to say it and believe it. Amen. Say it out of your mouth. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I am healed. Don't accept it. Say it. Don't accept your situation. Your situation has already been provided for. You change your situation by words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful. Words are powerful, right? He says, say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would what? Obey you. Amen. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say, prepare something for me, my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he think that the servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our what? Our duty. Wow. He said, this isn't hard. It's just by faith, guys. By faith. It's so easy. I have provided it for you. It's simply by faith. So by grace we are saved. How? Through faith. Look at this, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Let's go over this again. Because, you know, when we go through Scripture, there's so many times we go through it and we read it and we think, well, I know what it says. I know what it says. I know what it says. But there's so much we can pull out of it if we allow the Holy Spirit just to open it up to our hearts, right? So sometimes when you're reading something, guys, you got to regurgitate that. You got to meditate on it, okay? For by grace, grace by Jesus, grace, Jesus, grace in Jesus, grace in Jesus, same a thing. It's the Italians to say, same a thing, a same a thing. Grace in Jesus, right? For by grace, Jesus, you have been what? Saved how? Through faith. Grace provided. Christ was provided. We received Christ by faith. How did we receive him? By believing out of our heart, where faith is resident in all of your hearts, by believing out of your heart, and then by confessing with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead. A finished work, right? So, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. There's where it is. We're trying to increase our faith, it becomes a work. If I read my Bible more, and, you know, if I do this more, and, you know, what's Romans 10, 17 say? Let's back up. What does Romans 10, 17 say? I want to add this. We're going to go back here. Go Romans 10. So then, here's where we get this. Faith comes by hearing. And, boy, over the years, this has been taught. When you hear the word, the more, you know what this has to do with is your salvation. This whole chapter is dealing with your salvation. When we hear God's word, because if you back up to the next verse, 16, 15, drop 15, fine, back up to 50. Can you do that, Aaron? Now I'm running you all over. And how should, I was called by the scripture. I was called into the ministry by a scripture, by the way. I thought it was a good scripture to be called with. I was just seeking the Lord when I was about maybe 18 years old, and I knew I had a call in my life, but I was just asking for confirmation of that call, and I knew God had called me, and wow, what a journey it's been, wow. And I was up in college at a little Bible college in Tennessee, and I was on my knees, and I was just praying, and I had a little Gideon's Bible in my pocket, and it fell out, and it opened up, and this is the scripture. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Back up to verse 14. I want to give you the whole thing here. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what?
A preacher.
So it's precious. It's precious to me. So I don't know if I ever tell my girls that story. I don't know, girls, but verse 16. Oh, back up. I'm sorry. And how shall they preach unless they are what? Supplied for. So that's what I'm believing. Supplied for. I need to preach this grace message. So I'm believing for that. And I'm believing some of you are just going to get so rich. Hallelujah. So blessed. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, the good news of peace, who bring glad tidings of what? Good things. I love that. Isn't that good? But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Believe. So then faith comes by what? So I'm preaching the word, and when you and this is addressing people who haven't believed yet, who haven't received yet. So I'm preaching the word, and faith comes, they hear it, they hear Jesus, they hear about Jesus, and they receive Christ into their life, and that word becomes alive to them. Amen. And so really what we've done is we've taken this and we say, well, every time I hear the word, my faith is increasing. Now, I have to say yes to that, but not to the point where we think I'm getting all this faith because you already got it. I think what happens is unbelief goes. It's more of unbelief going than it is faith increasing in your heart. It's unbelief leaving your heart so you can have the capacity to draw everything God has for you. Y'all ain't hearing that, are you? Amen. Because all this is dealing with what? An initial salvation experience. That's what he's talking about here, is an initial salvation experience. And so when we are first born again, we're saved, the word goes forth, it's mixed with the faith that God's given everybody a measure of. We receive Christ into our life, we have that measure, everybody's given the same measure, amen. Faith is deposited in your heart, salvation is deposited in your heart, everything that goes along with that, amen. And then you draw out of it by faith. Are you all hearing me this morning? Oh, this is good. How many's getting this? Raise your hand. One, two, three. Three of you. No, all of you are getting it. All right, I just want you to receive this. Go back to Ephesians. For by grace we are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. For by grace we are saved through faith. Through what? And not any effort of your own. It's a gift of God. Faith and grace are gifts of God. It's not something you work at. It's something you have. Amen. You have faith. You have and serve a good God who has blessed you with all things. Amen. Wow. So God's word carries faith. Words are spiritual containers carrying the substance to either destroy or bless us. Amen. So words are powerful. It's a container. And so you speak the word over the area of your life. By speaking the word, faith is released out of your life into what God has, brings over to here to what we need. Look at Galatians 2:16. How are we justified? We are justified what? How are we justified? Knowing that a man is not justified by what? The works of the law, but by how? Faith where? In Christ, in grace. Faith in grace. Faith in grace, what God's provided. That's how we're justified. Hallelujah. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be what? Justified. Amen. Wow. Supernatural faith goes above and beyond any human faith. When Christ is in us, we live by faith in grace. Look at Galatians 2:20. When Christ is in us, we live by faith through grace. Amen. Look at this. I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, my old man is dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by what? By faith in grace in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I'm living. Hallelujah. That's how I make my living. Through that, Jesus said, whoever believes in him will do even greater works than he did. Why? Because we have faith and grace working together. Amen. Look at Romans 4:19-20. God promised Abraham a son. Everybody remember Abraham? God promised him a son. Look at Romans 4:19-20. And not being what? Weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Now that's where we get in problems. Because our senses and our bodies want to speak to us. So that's where our faith seemingly is diminished. Not that it really is. It's always there. It's always the same. You got it. Amen. God's given it to you. Hallelujah. It's yours. But our sense realm gets in the way of receiving what God has given us. Because our sense realm and your body will tell you all kinds of things. Right? Some of you had pain this morning. You thought it was the big one. It's the big one, Elizabeth. Some of you won't get that. Red Fox, man, he is hysterical, man. Sanford and Son. Anybody remember Sanford and Son besides Pastor? It's the big one. Oh, man, what a trip, man. And so you had a pain, and all of a sudden your body starts talking to you, you know? And it's saying, oh, yeah, And you know what? You start agreeing with it. You know? If it's not that, oh, it's cancer. I know it's cancer. I know it is. And then you start agreeing with it. Because we're so programmed in our society to agree with all that stuff. Right? Nothing wrong medical. You know, Pastor, go to the doctor. I believe. Go to the doctor. We get over this point. Doctors are good. Jesus had a doctor. His name was Luke. Right? So, but what happens, guys, is many times, because we're programmed into this, into our sense realm, and not only with healing, but anything else that's out there, we're programmed with our senses instead of by the Spirit. Amen. And so what we see, what we hear, what we feel, all these things are coming against us in this world, and that's why we fight the good fight of faith. It's not that we're fighting for faith. Hello? We're not fighting for faith. We have faith. We're fighting against the senses that's telling us something different, contrary to what the Word has said. And it's not a fight in the flesh. It's a fight in the mind. That's why we renew our mind to what God's Word says. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So, you know, when you get up in the morning and Arthur wants to come and visit you, Ritus, he has the last name, you know, and what do? You take authority over that and you say, thank you by the name of Jesus. I am healed. I release the faith I have in the Word of God. And the Word says, by His stripes I have been healed. I have received the grace of Jesus Christ. I appropriate this by releasing it with my mouth in Jesus' name. I'm going to do something that I couldn't do. If you couldn't run, get up and run. If you couldn't dance, get up and dance. Hello? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. So vitally important. Look at what he says. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. How old was he? Just about 100 years old. He hadn't had the manifestation yet. He's living under the old covenant. Hello? But he believed. God said, I'm going to give you a son. He believed God. He did not consider his own body already as good as dead. Way beyond procreation years, right? Didn't consider it. Turn to somebody and say, don't consider it. Hello? Woo! Baby, I can't wait till we're 90. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory. Somebody say amen. And not if you're married. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about what? 100 years old. And the deadness of, didn't even consider the deadness well past childbearing years. Why? Because God had promised. So his senses did not get in the way of his believing. His senses did not get in the way of his believing. Praise God. Drop on down. Next verse. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. There it is, folks. There's where the challenge is. It's the unbelief thing, man. The unbelief thing. You know what? It was in Matthew 17, I believe, where Jesus approached the disciples, approached him about the boy that was casting himself in fire, and they could not cast the demon out of him. They came to Jesus, and, you know, Jesus, you know, said, hey, they said, why couldn't we? Why could? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, this kind doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting. The way you get rid of unbelief is by prayer and fasting. Amen. Not increasing your faith. Faith is already there, ready to work for you. Working for you. Amen. It's the unbelief thing, because of our senses in the world we live in, that we have to get cast out of us. Hello? That demon of unbelief. Come on, somebody. Through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Strengthened in faith. Faith made him strong. I'm believing. Praise God, church. Amen. Faith is such a strong thing within us. Amen. Don't give up. Turn to somebody and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't allow unbelief to come in and rattle your senses and get you thinking wrong that God doesn't love you and God's holding out on you and God doesn't want to bless you. He's already blessed you. Amen. You receive it and appropriate it by faith, by speaking over that, the word of God, what you possess and what you have. Hallelujah. And take your rightful position in faith and say, I receive that in the name of Jesus. I apply my authority. It's just like your right to vote. You have a right to vote. Use it. Use your right to vote. Use your authority to vote. You've been given authority as a U.S. citizen to vote. But if you don't use that vote, nothing's going to change. If you don't use the authority Jesus has given you, nothing is going to change. But when you use the authority and you apply it and you take that authority over the enemy and you declare in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, I receive everything grace has provided for me in Jesus' name. And you rise up in the spirit of the Lord, amen, and you take what God has given you. He doesn't want any starving children around his table. He said, come and die. He said, I prepared a table before you in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. In the presence of unbelief, a table is prepared for you. He said, come and receive. Praise God. My cup runneth over. He wants you just to stay there and enjoy his blessing and table that he has spread for you. When they stopped serving you the cup, they wanted you to leave the house. Your welcome was over. If they kept filling your cup, it meant they wanted you to stay. Some of you ladies entertain, that's a good thing. You think about that. You know, we do entertain here out of Eastern tradition, so if I stop serving you wine, it's time for you to leave. If I keep filling your cup, you can stay around and hang out as much as you want to. So, amen. But that's what they did. And the psalmist said, my cup's running over. Is your cup running over today? Or, you know, have you allowed your senses to get in the way? You know, we all deal with it, church. We're all human here still. We all deal with it, right? We all have that human part of us here that, you know, our feelings, our body, our reactions, our temperaments, our personalities, all that stuff that came along with our soul man to survive on this earth. We all have that, all have to deal with that. And sometimes when we're believing for something, you know, the manifestation seems it takes a long time, but really it's just getting our unbelief out. And when the unbelief finally gets out, we just really relieve and say, thank you, Jesus. I've been believing for that plane for 30-something years. 30-something years, believing. Had pictures of it. My wife said, what you doing on the internet, honey? I'm looking at planes. What are you doing, babe? I'm looking at planes. What are you doing? I'm looking at planes. I love to fly, guys. If you've never experienced that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you've experienced it, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday. He said, I will never get up in a plane. He says, when I have to fly, I have to knock myself out. You know, he said, I knock myself out from here to there, and I'm okay after I get there. You know, and he said, I don't like to fly. And I was just telling about, you know, how awesome it is to be the pilot. And once you got in, you sit down in there, and that plane takes off, and it is so cool. But, you know, I had a guy call me and said, hey, Steve, I want to help you buy a plane. Just out of the blue, called me up and says, I want it. Not out of the blue, it's something I've been believing for. But it took a long time for that to manifest. He said, I want to help you get a plane. Dude, you're an answer to prayer. And he did. In fact, I didn't even have to locate it. He found it for me. I just had to put it together. Got help doing that too, in a box, right? Amen. You guys know. But I'm thinking, Lord, you know, those desires. And God wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's what the Bible says, right? Amen. Stand this morning. Amen. Praise God. He loves you today. He loves you today. He is such a good God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we are thankful today for the manifestation of faith in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the word we speak over our life today. Words of healing, words of grace, words of prosperity, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Words of peace. Amen. Peace in our bodies, God. Peace in our minds today, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Manifestation of your goodness in our life. Thank you, God, for grace showing up in the person of Jesus, providing for us everything that we have need of today. Lord, we give you the glory. This day we give you the praise. We honor your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah, because you're such a good Father today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise is the highest form of faith released over our lives. When we're praising the Lord, amen, faith is activated. Amen. Faith is being released. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to start thanking him for that area of your life you want to see a manifestation over. Start thanking him for it. Amen. Faith is released. Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you the glory, the praise for the blood of Christ. Thank you for your salvation, your wholeness today, your goodness in our lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that today. Just raise your hands up to him, church. Say out of your mouth this morning, I am blessed. I am healed. By his stripes, sickness, disease, dis-ease has no part in this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the healed of the Lord. I am walking in health. I choose the good life of Jesus. My family's blessed. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed. My great-grandchildren are blessed. My great-great-grandchildren are blessed. Thank you, Lord. The generations ahead, we call them blessed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we receive today everything that Jesus has provided for us. Amen. We will not be without. There is no lack in my life. Not one area of lack in my life. I am full to the overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, turn to somebody this morning and say, are you living in the overflow? Praise God. Amen. Love you guys. Invite somebody out. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. Bring your mom. Amen. If she's still alive, bring her out.